You're going to get my testimony, but through a little bit of the Word tonight. You've just seen four of the seven give a testimony, and there's a few running themes in that. One, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, is going on a missions trip got them out of their comfort zone. Out of all the things they're used to, got them into a different place with a different language, a different culture, and got them out of their comfort zone. And when they were out of their comfort zone, they were more easily influenced by the Spirit of God. They didn't have the things of this world, the cares of this world, affect them. You understand that theory. So tonight, we're going to do something we've never done before. And after I get all the grumbling over, we may never do it again. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to give y'all the taste of a missions trip. Okay? So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to get up. I want you to go sit somewhere you've never sat before. And I want you to sit next to somebody you've never sat before.
And turn off the air conditioner.
And turn off the air. Yeah, we can turn off the air conditioner. No, I mean, y'all are Baptist. Everybody parked in their spot. Everybody's sitting in their spot. Let's everybody just sit somewhere like you've never sat before. And I don't want you sitting next to somebody you always sit by either. We're going to get you out of your comfort zone. Okay, and as soon as you find you a new partner and a new seat, how do you like that? Huh? Turn to Genesis chapter 11. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Now that I've got you a little bit uncomfortable. The title of this message is Don't Get Comfortable. So we've got you a good start to that. And we're going to run through this quick enough to let God do some work on you. But let's pray first. Father, it's just a pure privilege to stand in pastor's pulpit tonight and to be able to hear the testimonies of these young people and what you've done in their lives and how you affected them in the last 2 weeks in Africa. And Father, I pray now we can look at a passage in your word, and Father, you'll get me out of the way. Maybe you can speak to all of us about getting out of our comfort zone and maybe getting something done with all of us. And maybe we're way too comfortable where we've been. I just pray you can do something with this message. And if anything's accomplished in this, we'll know it was you. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 11, if you're familiar with the story, is a story of the Tower of Babel. And the folks that went and dwelled in the land of Shinar and decided to build a tower. And, of course, you know how that worked out. God came down and scattered them abroad and knocked the whole thing down. But to put this in context, you know, all the chapters before this, the first four or five chapters before this, we had Noah and this ark and God getting fed up with the imaginations of the heart of men, that they were evil continually. And he got to a point where he just had to destroy the whole thing. And he did, right? You know, you've read the book. He destroyed the whole thing. Well, right out of the box, the next thing that happens, we've got some folks here that now that God has come down, he's cleaned up man's mess, and he's started completely over, we've got a group of people here that that start their own deal. And I want you to get, you're familiar with the story, and we'll go through it, but I want you to see something. Verse 5, I want you to know this before we go any further. Verse 5 says, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded." The first thing we're going to talk about these men that built this city and why they did it and all those kind of good things, but I want you to understand that God was no part of this. They didn't do this for God. They didn't do this because they had asked God. They had no intentions of God being any part of this, okay? God came down to see what they were doing. And when he saw what they were doing, he shut it down. So we're going to do that. What we want to do is we want to look at this. The title of this message is Don't Get Comfortable. And I'm going to walk through this passage and show you some things that men will do naturally to be comfortable. Now, you're Baptist, and what you do naturally to be comfortable is you come in here and you sit in the same place every time. And if a guest shows up or a visitor shows up and sits in your seat, oh my, my. Or sometimes it gets bad enough if they park in your parking space. They know that you always park there. You know, we get way too comfortable in our daily things. So I'm going to read the whole passage and we'll go back through it. Chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language, of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Let us go down, and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So what we've got here is an account of men and what they'll do without God. Without God, what they'll do. And we all have this tendency to do whatever it is to be comfortable. And so the first thing, look in verse 1. It says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." One language and one speech. One language, we like to all speak the same language. We're comfortable with that. We're comfortable with the language. When Milton and I go on the ships, and we go on a ship where nobody speaks English, we're not very comfortable with that. This is weird because I'm used to looking at certain people when I say their name, and they're not there. I'm uncomfortable with that. Where's Milton? There's Milton. Okay. No, when we go on the ships and all of a sudden we get on a ship and there's several of them that speak really good English, all of a sudden our comfort level changes. Now we know we can get something accomplished. We know we can say stuff and they'll understand us. And you know, it's real easy to understand it on a deal like that. But let me give you an example here. Tony, he's from Alabama. And when he came here, it was uncomfortable trying to figure out what he was saying. And I'm not sure right now he even understands what we're saying. You know, and one thing I'm sure he doesn't understand is I heard an announcement that anybody going to camp ought to be here at 5:30 in the morning. Has anybody told Tony? Tony doesn't do mornings. Where's Tony? Okay, there, okay. Yeah, don't go to bed. That's why you don't have to do the morning. Okay, but anyway, being comfortable with the language. It also says with one speech. You know, speech means understanding what people are saying. It's normal, and y'all are all here for one reason. We all have a common belief. We believe the same things. We have an understanding in the same things. So we form this little group. We tend to be around people with the same beliefs. I remember a story Pastor told about once when he went to Buccaneer Day's parade and we were supposed to go from group to group and try to just see if we could convince them to listen to a little Bible. And I believe he went up and there was this biker gang up there. And they've got their beer, they've got their leather jackets, they got the whole bit, and he's sitting there going, I'm the guy that told everybody to be doing this, and now, I've got a biker gang here, and I really don't know whether they're going to like this. You see, his comfort level changed when he saw that we got somebody over here, and he didn't believe for a second that these folks would understand his speech, right? They had a different speech. They had a different understanding, and it was real uncomfortable. But once he got over there, what you got to remember is this is God's work. When he got over there, God had prepared a man that said, "Yes, these guys need to listen to what you got to say." And it worked out just fine. Here's the thing. We all get way too comfortable hanging around in groups where we all get together and we all understand the same thing. I know when you go to work, it's not like that. Well, it is where I work. But when you go to work, you're around people with a different speech. And when you are urged by the Holy Spirit or have the desire to tell them something that you believe, is that comfortable or uncomfortable? It's uncomfortable because they've got a different understanding and a different speech. You see, we tend to hang around folks that are of the same beliefs. I can pretty much be sure that most of y'all are Fox News kind of people. It'd just be a guess. But I bet, I imagined it is, okay? But that's the one thing. These folks, first thing they had in common, they had language and speech. They understood what each other said, and they also had an understanding between themselves. They believed the same things. And those things make you comfortable. Those things make you comfortable. Another thing about this being comfortable thing, I've seen it a lot in the college and career class. You know that book in your lap? There's a lot of stuff in there that should make you uncomfortable. And when I bring that up and I put it in the face of some of these young people, they're not comfortable with that. Sometimes people come to church and they may hear pastor say something out of the book that really makes them uncomfortable. You know what? Praise the Lord. Because that's the way it should be. You see, I don't want you to be comfortable when you come to church. I don't want to be comfortable when I come to church. When I come to church, I want the Lord to tell me the truth. And He tells the truth. And I want Him to tell me either good or bad, whatever the day is or whatever the need is, I want the truth. Because I can do something with the truth. But a lot of churches, that's why we've got this new church movement with the world and the music and all that. Because when they go to church, you know what? They went to church to make them feel good. And they can leave church being in a state of mind where they really felt good. That's bad. Good is bad. Okay? Tonight, I've got y'all a little bit uncomfortable, and it's good for you. And I pray that we're going to start this tonight and we can keep it up as a church, because you don't want to get comfortable. These people were comfortable with one speech and one language. Look at the next passage, verse 2. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And look at this. They dwelt there. They dwelt there. You know what? One thing, when I went to college, one of the first classes I took was a sociology class. And the professor, the first day, gave us an assignment. He said, after class, I want you to go to the student union building, and I want you to do a short little paper on what you observe. That's the end of the instructions. So I go to the student union building, and I sit there, and in a few minutes, I see a couple of my buddies, and they come over and sit down with me, and I tell them, they go, what are you doing here? Well, you know, I got this assignment, and I don't know what to do with it. I'm supposed to observe and write what I observe. One thing that you need to know is I grew up in Kingsville, went to high school in Kingsville. And then when it was time to go to college, my parents moved to Beeville. And so you know what that did? That made local boy that grew up in Kingsville move into a dorm for the first year. It was the rules. So I'm living in the dorm. And so it's a strange deal for me. And now I've got this strange assignment in sociology class, and I'm told to write what I observe. Okay, so I got a couple of buddies there, and in a few more minutes, here comes a couple of their friends, and they come and sit down, and we tell them the same thing, and everybody's just confounded. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what this is all about. And we had a good time visiting everything, so I don't remember exactly what I wrote on the page, but the next time I went to class, I found out what we were supposed to observe. The fact that we were supposed to observe was that people always form themselves in groups, and I had just did it and didn't know. I had a group of my buddies. We naturally formed a group here, and I missed the whole assignment. They dwelt together. These people that had a common language and common speech, they came to the land of Shinar, and they dwelt together. You see, we naturally will hang around people that we understand their language, that we understand their speech, and we understand and believe the same things. You know what that does? That makes you comfortable. If you take any one of those and turn it around, you're not comfortable. You see what these folks were doing in this story? They were working and building themselves into a place where they were comfortable. They had no God. They wanted no God. They believed in no God. And that's the strangest thing. These people surely should have had either an eyewitness or a very, very close story to the wrath of God and the destruction of the entire world. They were that close to it. And yet, they were living this kind of life. And they were doing it because they wanted to be comfortable. Look at the next passage, verse 3. And they said to one another, go to and let us make brick. Let us make brick. Besides man dwelling naturally together, he'll form himself in group. Making brick talks to the fact that God has given every one of us an ability. God has given you some kind of ability. We've got folks that sing really well. We've got folks that play the piano. We've got folks that teach Sunday school. We've got folks that preach. We've got folks that clean the building. We've got folks that cut the grass. We've got all kinds of people that serve in this church. And God has given them that ability. Now, these men took that ability, and they were absolutely happy with the fact that they could make bricks. And they made bricks, and they started to build a city and a tower, and we'll get to that. But what I don't want you to do, and this whole story is my testimony. These are the things that God put in my face when I was on this missions trip. You can get very comfortable with your ability level right where it's at right now. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you're comfortable with doing your lesson at 10 o'clock on Saturday night and throwing enough together just to get through the class, that's not good. You shouldn't be comfortable with that. Every time I'm asked to get in this pulpit, I am not comfortable. Okay? You can ask Maureen. The best part of this is when it's over. It makes me uncomfortable because there's a huge responsibility to this. You know, these are God's words. There's no problems there. And God has a message, and I'm sure He does. I'm the weak link in that. And so it makes me real uncomfortable. The day that I get up here and I'm comfortable with doing this, oh, it's going to show. It's going to show. And what I'm trying to tell you today is don't get comfortable with the ability that God's given you right now. There is probably other things that He wants you to do. There's things that you're doing now He wants you to do better. There's always something changing with God. The status quo is not part of the deal. But these people were making brick, and look what they were doing. Verse 4. Said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. How about that? They were going to build a city and a tower. You don't have to turn there for time, but Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You know, God has dealt with me on this. We get way too comfortable making a living and doing the things that we do daily. I ran several businesses and worked in the ministry at the same time and do this. And you'll do the same thing. You'll find a way to take everything that's part of your responsibility. You'll put it in the order that makes you comfortable. And you can get comfortable with the most stressful job there is. You can take a job where your boss is always on you, things are always changing, but you can find a way to find and make a comfort zone out of that. And I have found a way. This ministry thing, as you all know, is a new day every day to me because I haven't done this that long. But I'm starting to get real comfortable with an office and preparing a lesson for Sunday and ships on Tuesday. And I'm working myself into a comfort zone. And when I went on the mission trip, all of a sudden I'm out of it. And that's the same story as the ones you heard the testimonies from. You see, you don't have to go on a missions trip to get mindful right now that you don't need to be comfortable. You don't need to be comfortable with your ability. You don't need to be comfortable with just the people that are around you. It says also he's going to make a tower there, build a city and a tower. You know, it's... the Lord builds a city. The Lord does the stuff. You know, it's the Lord builds and the Lord keeps. If you could just get that in your head, the Lord builds and the Lord keeps, then what's there for you to do? Whatever He says for you to do. Okay, so He's in charge of this thing. These folks put themselves in charge. And they were going to build them a city and a tower, and they were going to have this comfort thing really, really good. Look in verse 4 at the latter part. It says, let us make a name. Let us make a name. Amanda mentioned it. She said when she got there, I'm looking over here for a minute, and she's not there. Yeah, we'll never do this again. No, Amanda said it. She said one of the things she noticed when she went on that mission trip by being taken out of her comfort zone is she noticed it wasn't all about her. And it's not about you. And the quicker you can get that in your head that it's not about you. These people wanted to build themselves a name. You know, in Acts 4, verse 12, Peter told us, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby be saved. The only name we need to be concerned with is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Our name means nothing. Okay? And these folks were trying to build something and build them a name. And look at their biggest fear in the next verse, or at the end of this verse. It says, let us make us a name. It says, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Lest we be scattered abroad. You know what? That's one of the biggest places that people's comfort zone is affected. Nobody wants to face their fears. These folks, they were all of one language, of one speech. They dwelt together. They were building a city, building a tower, building a name. They had it all going on. It was all about them. They were comfortable. And their biggest fear was that they were going to get scattered abroad. What did God do to them? He scattered them abroad. You know what Job said in Job 3, verse 25? He said, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. You know, God's got a real sense of humor. Whatever you have a huge fear of is the thing that God's going to put you through. Okay? Ask Maureen. Where's Maureen? She's not back there. She's over here. She had a huge fear of Istanbul. She didn't even like the fact that we were going to have a stopover in Istanbul. And then when she found out that an hour and a half stopover in Istanbul meant a 26-hour stay in Istanbul, she was not happy about it. I even truly believe that it's her fault that we got to stay there. I believe that her biggest fear came upon her, and the Lord said, you're going to be late just so we can watch Maureen stay in Istanbul for 28 hours. Okay? But you need to be careful with this. You need to face your fears. You get this? You need to face your fears. It's uncomfortable to do, but you need to face them. These people didn't want to face them, and guess what? God put them right. He scattered them. They didn't want to be scattered. He scattered them. Look in verse 6. It says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have one language, and this they begin to do. Now, look at this. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You know what? When you're in your comfort zone and there's no God, then you know what? The will of God means nothing, and your imagination rules your life. Your imagination rules your life. You can read in Genesis 6 and Genesis 8, both times before the flood and after the flood, God said the imagination of a man's heart is evil continually. So you've got a handicap. You've got an imagination that's evil. Jeremiah 10:23 and 24, it says this, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. You know, we're handicapped. We are totally handicapped. You try your best to be comfortable. You try your best to make the decisions that'll get you there. And what the Bible's saying is you don't have the capability of making the right decisions. You know what? We can do nothing without him, is what the Bible says. And the quicker that you can get to that point, the better off you'll be. It goes on to say in the same passage, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not with thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. These people got corrected with judgment, or with anger. We're going to get the judgment of the judgment seat of Christ. Without God, And the only desire to be comfortable, you will be ruled by your imagination. If these people had no God, they didn't want any God. They were ruled by their imagination and ruled by their desire to be comfortable. We got that all straight? Okay. Now, God had to come down and clean this mess up. He's had to clean it completely up with Noah and start completely over. Now he's got the people doing this stuff, and he comes down here and he changes all the land and he scatters them. Look in the next chapter, chapter 12, Genesis verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. You know what he did? He went and found a guy. He found a guy that he said, you know what? This guy will do it right. This guy will do it right. This guy. And what did he ask him to do? He didn't ask him. What did he command him to do? Get uncomfortable. He said, get up, get out of the land. I mean, he started giving him orders right off the bat. He got him uncomfortable. You know what Abraham did? He did what God said to do. You know, it's amazing. We've got a choice of being like the people in Genesis chapter 11 and doing everything in our might to be comfortable and not pleasing God at all. Or we can be like Abraham, and that's Genesis chapter 11. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. He found a man that would do it right. And we're just going to look real quickly at a couple of things of the way that we can do this right. Hebrews chapter 11, look in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him for the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know what? These folks in Genesis chapter 11 were looking for a city. They were going to build their own. And they were building it the way they wanted to. They had no part. They didn't want God's influence on any of this. They were building it for their comfort. They were building it for their name. Now you got a guy named Abraham. You know what? He's looking for a city who has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. There's a big difference here. And part of the difference is in, let's look in verse 8. Here's part of the difference. Abraham was not, he didn't have a problem not being comfortable. Okay? It says, by faith, Abraham. You know what? It is not comfortable to walk by faith and not by sight. Is it comfortable for anybody in here just to walk by faith and not by sight? No. It's not. It's real hard. It's not comfortable. But it's what we're supposed to be doing. The first time I started to understand the concept that God wanted me to tithe. Now, I know none of y'all have ever had a problem with that. Okay? But my personal deal, the first time I knew, well, that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to tithe 10%. I gave almost 10%. Almost on a regular basis. Okay? And I almost walked by faith and not sight. Okay? I know none of y'all have ever done this. Okay? And then the more I did it, the more I found out, you know, this is crazy, but this thing is working. God's blessing this. You know, I could probably give, you know, 6 or 7%. No, I could, yeah. I work. you've done it, I know. But once you get up to that tithe, then you hear this thing about offerings. You mean there's more? Yeah. God loveth a cheerful giver. And then, you know, if you just like, if God kind of urges you, you know, give some money. And you walk by faith and do it, it's amazing God's economy. It's amazing God's economy. You can be on a fixed income, I don't care, you can put a dollar and a cent to the end of the month, and you are not going to outgive God. Now, I'm not telling you to give all your money, don't do anything foolish. But what I am saying is, if the Spirit of God is truly leading you to give an offering above your tithe, why don't you walk by faith and not by sight? Why don't you try God and see if He's real? He is. He's very real. And these are some of the things, you know, the promises in this book. They're in writing, but every one of them you have to accept and you have to take by faith. And that is uncomfortable. That is uncomfortable. And God can do something with all of us when we're uncomfortable. But when you're sitting, you know, it's the same old story. When you're sitting pretty, you got a good job, you got a full bank account, your bills are paid. This faith thing, it's hard to get on the faith wagon, isn't it? Because you're being taken care of. You don't need to have any faith. Part of that deal, I think Paul was talking about when he's weak, he was strong. A lot of that fits for faith. The more you get where you need God, the more you'll get where you trust God. Guaranteed. And you don't want to get where God puts you in that position so that you will trust Him. The basic thing is, don't get comfortable. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. It's not comfortable. Look at the next thing in the verse. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called out to a place which he's received for inheritance, obeyed. I know y'all. Obedience is not comfortable. If it was, Pastor would never have to preach a thing. We could come sing some hymns, take up an offering, now that I hit you on the tithe and offering thing, and then we wouldn't have to preach against sin because everybody would be obeying. But it doesn't work like that because obeying God is not comfortable. You know what is comfortable? Sin is comfortable. It really is. If it wasn't comfortable, you wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Sin is comfortable. Sin smells good. Sin tastes good. Sin looks good. Sin feels good. And sin does something else good. But sin is bad. And we will do whatever makes us comfortable. Many of us have our own comfortable little pet sin. And it's something we can always go to. It's something that makes us feel good. And it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. You need to get uncomfortable. You need to kick it out. And you need to start obeying God. Real simple, real simple. Obedience. Look at the next one. This is the hard one. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And look at this. And he went out. You know, that first step. That first step is not comfortable. That first step is not comfortable. I don't know how many of y'all, every time we raise the hands, a lot of you raise your hand and say, you know, did you get saved in a church service just like this? And all the hands go up. How many of y'all, was it really comfortable to get up and walk down here and receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Walk down and let everybody know that you were not saved, but you wanted to be saved, and you raised your hand and you came down front. Was that comfortable? I've actually seen people, they have, you know, the invitation is going, the hymns are going, and there's a death grip on the back of that chair in front of them. It's not comfortable. They don't want to get up and go down. They're worried a lot. They've got the fear of man. They're worried about what men think instead of what God thinks. And they're not comfortable with it. You know, getting saved is the best thing that you could ever possibly do in this lifetime. And it's an uncomfortable, that first step's a little uncomfortable. But how many of y'all regret getting saved? How many of you are absolutely comfortable with the fact that you're saved and on your way to heaven when you die? Sure, sure, sure. That first step is hard. It's uncomfortable. I'll tell you another thing that's uncomfortable. This altar. And when the Holy Spirit does work, when a man's up here preaching, and he's pointed out something in your life that he wants changed, either for the good or for the bad, he wants it changed, he doesn't like it, you know he doesn't like it, you know that you're doing something that God disapproves of, or you're not doing something that God wants you to do, and the finger has been put in your face, and you know the preaching, you know it's true, and it's time for you to get out and step out and come down here and meet up with the Lord and get it done and get it finished and get it stopped and take that first step. But it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. I can guarantee you, I used to sit right on the fourth row, and then I had to move to the back. I tell you what, it's 5 miles from the back of that seat to here. It's at least 5 miles all the way up here. It's hard to get up and come up here and kneel down before God in front of everybody and get with God and get something right in your life. It's uncomfortable. But you know what? God can get something done when you do that. When you will take the step to get yourself uncomfortable, you know what? It's not but about 2.5 feet on the way back to the seat. 5 miles coming this way, but it's only about 2.5 feet going back. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'd encourage you that not get comfortable. Walk by faith and not by sight. Not get comfortable. Obey. Obey. That's not comfortable. And take that first step. Take that first step. God, I am certain in a crowd this big, God has dealt with someone in here about salvation over and over and over. God has dealt with someone in here maybe about a call on their life. Maybe it's preaching. Maybe someone in here has been called by God to start helping out in Sunday school. You've got that little bit of a voice in you, and God's not going to beat you over the head with it, but there's a little bit of voice in there. You know, I'd really like to start doing something with the youth. Or maybe there's some way God has talked to you and talked to you and talked to you, but do you know what the difference is? You don't want to get uncomfortable and take that first step. You need to. You need to. Look in verse 9. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. You know what sojourn means? It means to stay somewhere temporarily. The problem with us, and I made you move. See, I know every one of you are sojourning now. Because there's no way you'll sit in that same seat next time we come to church. Because you're going to go right back to your old seat, right? We're sojourning in this world. We're just temporarily passing through. The Bible goes on to say here, look in Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded by them and embraced them and confessed that they, look at this, were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what we are. We are strangers and pilgrims. You are a child of God, and you are just passing through. You're just passing through. And that's the part on this missions trip that everybody started to understand, that it's not about them. We got over there and we're in a different language and a different understanding and a different culture, and we sojourned there. You see, we understood that we got to go home. Every one of us, because we actually started looking for that day and that time. But we were sojourning there. And you need to get it in your head that don't get comfortable with the life that you're living. Don't get comfortable with your job. Don't get comfortable with your fellowship with God. Don't get comfortable with your Bible reading. Don't get comfortable with your prayer life. Don't get comfortable, well, I do this at church. Well, maybe you need to be doing something else or doing more of something or doing something different. You need to listen to the Spirit of God and not be comfortable where you're at, because when you're comfortable, things ain't happening. You need to be uncomfortable for God to get something done. One more thing. We'll shut it down. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was not like the guys in Genesis 11. He wasn't looking for anything temporal. He was looking for the eternal. He was looking for the everlasting. And you know what? That's where we need to be. The Bible says you need to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are we seeking ye first the kingdom of God? Or are we seeking first to make the car payment, and to get the boat, or to whatever, you know, whatever your deal is, you know? Amanda, a lot of these kids, I just pray this stuff sticks. I pray it sticks, because they see the reality and the truth that the spiritual things, the eternal things in this world are far more important than the temporal. Far more important for the temporal. And Abraham was not looking at the temporal. He was looking at the eternal. He never got to see it, but he was looking for it. None of us may get to see it in our lifetime, but I know that it's there. I believe the book. We're supposed to lay up our treasure in heaven, not at Wells Fargo Bank. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is, do what you can to stay uncomfortable. Please. I am going to make that the goal of my life for quite a while. I want to stay uncomfortable. Because every time I get comfortable, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing for God. I just know it. Every time I get comfortable with the amount of Bible I read one day, I know that was wrong. I know for a fact that everyone in here reads exactly the amount of Bible that they want to. The amount of time, that doesn't matter because you make time for the things you want to do. Everybody in here's prayer life, you pray and you pray for the things and you pray the length and with the desire that you want to. Nobody in here prays less than they want to. Nobody in here prays more than they want to. Does anybody here pray more than you want to? You got a problem with that? No. We all make those decisions. And we make those decisions based on what makes us comfortable. It's right. It's true. And my prayer to you is don't get comfortable. I want you to turn to one more verse and we'll shut it down. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me." And look at this. "And lead me in the way everlasting." That's what we're talking about here. The guys in Genesis chapter 11, they had nothing to do with the way everlasting. Abraham's whole life was about the way everlasting. And the Bible says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." My prayer is that after tonight, my prayer is that those seven young people that came with us, that their hearts will never change, that they'll stay with what God has showed them and they won't slack off and they won't get comfortable with it and they'll keep seeking out that city that God has prepared. Okay? And I pray the same for the adults, of course, but I truly pray for those children. And I pray also for the folks in this room right now. I've made you uncomfortable. We probably went longer than we should. You think, this ain't even Tony, and Randy's up there preaching till 8:30. I hope it makes you uncomfortable. I hope God has spoke to you through some of this. And I pray that through this, we can be a better church. Through this, we can be a better witness for Jesus Christ. I pray that this we talked about this mission trip and we prayed for it for a year and we Brother Keith is just a first class missionary. Just a great example of what a man of God is supposed to be doing on a foreign field. He's doing it and some. And you know what? He's not comfortable with what he's doing. He wants to change. He wants to do more. He's going to come on furlough and then he's going to go back and try something a little bit different and tweak it a little bit and do something else. He's not comfortable there. And that's sweet. And God showed me that I don't need to be comfortable here. And I hope somehow he's showing you that you don't need to be comfortable there. Every head bowed. Father, I just, I truly pray. I thank you, Lord, for those testimonies and it just seems like you gave us extra attention on this trip, Lord, that you were so much realer. And I just know it's because you took us out of our comfort zone. You took us away from anything that was comfortable. And you put us in the middle of a place where we just had to look to you. Father, I pray and know that no one in here needs to go on a missions trip to do that. I know that you're willing to get each one of us as close to you as possible right now, right here today. Father, if there's somebody in this room that has not even accepted you as their Savior, they don't know Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that they would not leave here tonight. I pray the Holy Spirit would make them extremely uncomfortable. And Father, I pray that they would just tell me after, I'll stay up here, Lord. If they'll just come up and tell me, I want to know more about Jesus Christ. I need to be saved. I pray, Father, I'd stay right here and show them the truth in the Bible and rejoice all the way home that they accepted Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the rest of the church in here tonight that, Lord, if any of us have become way too comfortable, and whether it be our Bible reading, whether it be our prayer life, whether it be just our fellowship with you, whether it be our witnessing, whether it be our getting real comfortable with just making a living and not doing anything for God, whatever it be, Lord, I know that you can put the finger on it, and I pray that you would, and I pray no one would leave here tonight without getting with you and committing to the fact that they don't want to be comfortable anymore. They want to do what you want. Oh, Lord, I pray you could do some of that work here tonight in our hearts. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.